Blog Talk Radio.
I love that so much, man. I got 20, 30 different intros, but I don't know. Poe just killed it on that one, so I don't think I want to rock it anyway. You know, you always got to represent family. And that's what we're doing on today's show, man. We got the one and only Psychosis, but he's being joined by his partner in crime, Mr. Eldorado Jones. You know, yeah, I thought it was – go ahead, bro.
No, I was just saying, we riding shotgun.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, I thought it was – relevant to put Psychosis on the show by himself. You know, his new album dropped. A lot of success is coming the way of the family and to Psychosis. And I think it's relevant that we share this aspect of Greater Than Self Entertainment, because even though all of you are different, you're all one family. You all push to get each and every one of you heard, and you guys help each other like brothers. I mean, that's something you just don't see in the year 2019. You know, Psychosis, how does it feel for you to finally, to yourself, get an album out there that you feel that you can truly say resonates from within you?
First of all, salute Don McGuire, man, for even bringing me on the show. It's all love. You just said we all family. Salute Eldorado Jones, as you said, my partner in crime, holding this down with this interview, because who else could do better about asking me about me, my brother? So, but to answer your question, Don, I feel like all of my projects, you know, resonate with me. The thing is, you know, how you never really know how much they resonate with other people, you know. And I think that this project, Almost Cool Enough, it's just a bunch of truth in it. It's just a bunch of truth in it, but it's also, I think, what's most importantly for this project than any other one was, like, I put a lot of pressure on myself to make the music, but also we had fun with it. It was like, the whole concept was like, how not to take all of this too serious, even though we take it serious. It's like an oxymoron to myself. And so far, people who have heard it have definitely been latching on to their favorite records. It's only 7 songs, so I think it's easily digestible. And man, I'm really excited for where we headed in the future with it, man.
Oh, it's dope, man. You know, I shared it, you know, and I was glad. I was like, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I shared it on, you know, with multi people in the industry.
Dope.
And lo and behold, then it's on the Fortress of Solitude. It's on Drop the Mic. It's on many different platforms, and that's just a testament to what all of you have been putting in. You know, one aspect of it that really made me want to do this show was, I think, like you said earlier, you truly put all of who you were into this, but you had fun with it. When you sit back and you look at it, you know, what does this project truly mean to Psychosis, not just the artist, but the man, because you did put some heart into this LP.
I think it means a lot, man. I think probably first and foremost, one of the underlying themes of this is fighting ageism in hip-hop. I recorded this album and finished it on my 35th birthday. And as I tell a lot of people, when you hear that, especially for somebody in our case, you don't associate up and coming at 35 in the same sentence. But as I look at it hasn't been for a long time. Some of the biggest names in the industry have always been 30 plus. Definitely the biggest DJs are 30 plus. A lot of the record executives are 60, 70, 80. So a lot of the attention gets put on the younger artists, as they rightfully should. But I think the elder statesman, but not talking down to you angle is also important. You know, somebody who's older but relatable is also important, and that's a role I play in and outside of music. So on the last record, Born Day, I talk about that. Like, you know, I just made it 35. When you're black, that's middle age. You know, like, when you're thinking about somebody of my age actually getting better and getting more exposure and getting more popular as I get older, that's really the most important aspect of it to me. But also just knowing what I want to do, like knowing how to execute it, knowing how to make something while I still stay in my own lane, like being totally different on each record and totally different from each album before this, but also still sounding like me. That's important. And it took me this many years to learn how to do that. So I'm proud of that.
Most definitely. I'm going to drop the mic in your homie's lap. I don't know if this is the first time that El Dorado's ever interviewed you.
Officially.
On the radio, he interviews me with a bottle. Every time we have a bottle of rum or whiskey, every time we're in person. So this is not for everybody else. This is for everybody else. But no, yeah, man, it's definitely I want to hear what you got for
me. I'm going to play like you don't have the answers to your questions already.
All right.
But talk to me about, let's just start from the top, the title Almost Cool Enough. Where did it come from, and what does that really mean to you to be almost cool enough? Because from what it looks like you're cool enough. So how did you come up with the name Almost Cool Enough?
Well, I think it's an inside joke that we've been using for a long time.
You don't say.
Shout out to my homie Eduardo Jones. A lot of these phrases that we use, as little bitty markers, because as when you're up and coming, if you will, there are things that happen that aren't supposed to happen until you're already famous or until somebody knows you or until you got some viral. So, the fact that I'm doing this radio show right now. It's almost cool enough. These little markers are things that happen that show that we're getting the progress that we've been working on. But also, it's a way of humbling myself to not be psychosis 24 hours a day, to still be Eric and still get my mind in my mind, have this kind of healthy balance between feeling like I haven't done enough and appreciating what I have done. And so that's why I say almost like. I'm almost to a point where it's acceptable for people to share something before I ask them to share it. I'm almost to a point where people comment on posts and pictures and tell their friends about it. You know, almost to the point where it's normal for people to say they support you and rock with you and buy a ticket to a show and things like that. Which when you're up and coming or underground, if you will, I don't like that term because we're far from that now, but. When everybody doesn't know you for the masses, there's all these hoops that they put you through before they accept you and before they tell other people they accept you. That's really the key. Almost cool enough is, okay, so now you're a fan of Psychosis. Is he popular enough for you to try to convince your friend they should be a fan of him too? That's kind of where it comes from.
How important is that? How important is acceptance from a larger fan base outside of your friends and family that have already been rocking with you for a long time? How important is that acceptance for an artist in the eyes of the general public?
I think it varies by person, but it also varies by moment and situation, right? Like some days you're like, man, I don't care. You know, I'm doing this for me. And then at the same time, like, I'm hoping that the people I sent the link to listen to this is listening to it right now. You know what I'm saying? So it depends. It's a hard thing to follow because there's no way around it. We're human beings, and we want validation. We want acceptance. We won't pass on the back even though we don't need them. We want somebody to realize that what we're doing isn't normal. So I think the biggest person that you need it from is yourself. Like, you need to feel like, yo, you did that, and that was dope. And then how much weight you put on everybody else is up to you. But we try to encourage each other as much as possible so that we're not looking for the validation outwardly and start clout chasing, which is what a lot of people do. Because when you spend a lot of time and let me underline this, money, to make art, and then you have to convince people to even recognize that it's art and then to even accept it as art, that can be, like, that's a total mind trip, man. So it's going to vary by day, but most importantly, I've been keeping ties in my own mind. Here's what we should be proud of, and let's keep going that direction.
Yeah, most definitely.
It comes through on the news.
Yeah. You know what? I think we ought to show the world what smart is, man. And with that being said, hopefully I pronounce it right. Is it Brujita?
Brujita. See, it's Brujita. That J is an H in Spanish. Brujita means little witch in Spanish.
Well, see, I'm Indian, bro, so how was I supposed to know that?
I ain't know neither. I ain't know neither. But anyway, I'm glad the people going to hear. They're going to know it after today.
Right. We're going to play it. You know what? Today I'm going to do something I never do. Everybody that ever comes on my show, they get a minute and 30. I'm going to play each and every one of your tracks in entirety because, man, you family, and I think the world needs to hear it, bro. So here we go.
Hey, appreciate it.
Mira, mi brujita, mi favorita. Sabes te amo porque estás jugando, you know you got me stuck under your spell. I'm hypnotized, no lie, no you can tell. Mi brujita, mi favorita. Sabes te amo porque estás jugando, you know you got me stuck under your spell. I'm hypnotized, no lie, no you can tell.
Save lives, I guess I'm born again.
Amen.
Cause I've been face down in your mercy. Hurt me, born to sin. A Gemini and she took both of me. Ain't that a so fat and switch. When she walk by they feel inadequate. Mocha coffee complexion, but speaking fluent Spanish. My body comprehended, my mind couldn't understand it. Guess our ancestors was close to float on different boats. But now we physical when it's pick and roll. She gon' hit the post. Thought I was giving go. She callin' isolation. Told me to bend the knee, call her queen, no annihilation. And I'm like, damn Khaleesi, just understand you need me just as much as I need you for midnight rendezvous. They call us Los Morenos, we both one and the same. She snapping off like Thanos, neighbors thinking we insane. She prays the Santa Muerte soon as I leave the house. She load the clip for me, keep a lighter inside her blouse. Pow. Mi brujita, mi favorita. Sabes te amo porque estás jugando, you know you got me stuck under your spell. I'm hypnotized, no lie, no you can tell. Die chick, like locks in 99. She keep her locks to her behind and ain't afraid to reclaim her time. She stay low-key, talk is cheap, make you pay your fee. This ain't no free. When she speak, they get weak and geek like AOC. Plus, they know we a different breed, blowing strand up a different seed. I don't smoke, but that's different. And I like a hot, comments are dated. Clothing is overrated, them panties are still debated. Like PMW, you trouble you if you think about it. Pull me a potion, I'm probably hoping I think without it. La Santaria, she's standing that damn near perfect. I seen this movie before, I'm lighting candles in worship. Mi brujita, mi favorita. Sabes te amo porque estás jugando, you know you got me stuck under your spell.
You know you
I'm hypnotized, no lie, no you can tell.
Hey.
Mi brujita, mi favorita. Sabes te amo porque estás jugando. You know you got me stuck under your spell.
Under your spell.
I'm hypnotized, no lie, no you can tell.
No, you can tell.
Americana, Mexicana, Dominicana, Cubana. Boricua, Colombiana.
That joint was lit, bro. Oh, yeah, damn, sure, man. Bro. It made me want to go, aye, papi. Did I not know you could speak in Spanish, but you could sing in that shit, too. Was that you singing on that?
That was me. That definitely was me singing, bro.
Oh,
yeah.
My best
mariachi impersonation.
Oh, let me tell you, bro, that joint's lit. I'm going to tell you right now.
Thank you, man.
That,
shout out to From the North, who produced that out of Canada. Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's international.
That's dope.
That's dope because... Go ahead, Eldra.
Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off, Don. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, man, it's every joint that I've heard off this album, it seems like it shows a different side of Psychosis. This is probably one of the deepest albums that I've ever heard from you. Would you look at it and correlate it that way, that more of your soul came into this album than any other project?
As we talk about, you know, Steel Sharpens Steel, man, one thing that we realize when you do learn something as an art, I use martial arts, for example. We think of it as like fighting, right, and techniques. I know you relate to this with all of the fighters that you, you know, interview and work with, Don. We think of it as just a combat, but it's an art to it, right? And as you practice it over time, you realize what tools to use in what situations. And so I think at this point, with me being over 20 years experience in the art of writing music, specifically hip-hop, but also R&B, gospel, pop music, EDM, all these different things I have experience with, I think on this project was, let me pull out all of the tools, all of my black belts, if you will, and lay them on the table. Here are all of the things that I know I'm capable of doing that maybe you would normally hear me do on the same project, but here they go with these 7 records. And so that song, to me, every song on this album tells a story, and that story, there's multiple stories in that song. Brujita, as I said, means little witch. The mother of my child, she's Mexican. My son is half Mexican. And so now his lineage will be that of African American, that of Mexican, that of an American, and all of those cultures. And in society in 2019, people are having a conversation and not sure how to tackle culture and race. And so I had one song about my son that was called Black Joy. And in this song, Brujita, like, I'm just trying to use my art to tell different stories. And one of the stories in this song is the fact that a lot of people are unaware that, you know, when we learn about slavery in the United States, a lot of people are unaware that same transatlantic slave trade brought African people to the Caribbean, brought them to Puerto Rico, brought them to the Dominican Republic, brought them to Brazil, brought them to Colombia and Argentina and all those places that I mentioned. And so there are what we call Afro-Latinos that have the same lineage as I do, but they speak Spanish. And so that was actually a unifying record. That's the reason why I made it. It wasn't specifically to any one group. It was a unifying record of saying we have this joint lineage and we should recognize, not only should we recognize it, man, we should party to it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what that particular record was about for me.
Music. I'm glad you explained it, bro, because it's kind of like, for me, listening to every track that I've heard, because you've already sent me, you know, the album in its entirety and I listened to it. But to me, it was like, I don't know, since you want to use the warrior-like, you know, fighter aspect into it, it was kind of like Psychosis drew a line in the sand and said, you know, I put all these years of hard work, I've done all this, I've built my group up, my family up, this is who I am, take it or leave it, and you put your soul into this project. That's what I take from it, homie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would definitely say, like, From this project, in 25 minutes, you should get a very good sense of who I am as an artist, which to me speaks a lot, because it was just last year when Pusha T released a seven track project, and I was like, why would he do that? he know that I need 10-14 songs out of him. Like, these 7 songs aren't enough. But that's because I already knew who Pusha T was. And so I feel like somebody who didn't know who I was, and I'll go into every project assuming that you don't. Even for my friends and my people who know me well, I keep going back and saying, well, just in case you thought that was it, here's more to me and here's more to my music. So I wanted to give people a quick glimpse into my mind and into how I feel and think about a lot of different things, from, like I just said, from culture to religion to politics to the criminal justice system to just being an artist myself and struggling as a man to make certain things happen. I wanted all of that to come out in this project, and that's what I set out to do. So hopefully that's what everybody pulls from it.
Oh, man, definitely, man. I'm in my mid-50s, bro, and I'm bumping this. So that is reaching everybody, because I ain't never been cool enough. So it's dope to have almost cool enough on here.
Yeah, man, I feel like
El Dorado, homie.
You feel that way, man. So I wanted to get him something to be like, look, man, we don't have to be as popular as everybody else, man. We right there, and this is it. We right here, we good. We can go from here. So that's what it's about.
I love it, man. El Dorado.
That's a powerful inclusive thing. That's a very inclusive theme that I think runs through the entire project. It's funny because it's called Almost Cool Enough, but there's a lot of bravado
yeah.
throughout it.
Yeah.
And it really sounds like an outsider celebration of being an outsider. And it's almost allowing the insiders to be on the inside joke of an outsider, if that makes sense. That's a triple entendre for you.
There it goes. He got to be a hip hop artist even when he asks him questions. Ain't that crazy? But no, you're actually right. There was a period of my life when I was 18 to 22 where I just wrote down and recorded the first thing that came to my head. Yeah. Like when I was doing mixtapes with Wolfpack, shout out Wolfpack, when I did those Mostly Me Too projects, like I just wrote it. And then whatever you got was what I got, and I went to the booth and recorded it the same day. Like I didn't overthink it at all. And then there was a period where I made Mostly Me, the first project, where I was like, okay, let me like think and plan it out. And so I became like really interested on like planning the music, and there was a big growth period there. And then for the next couple of projects, like I made like a lot of planning behind the music. And so this project, I was like, look, I'm just going to go back to the basics of what I always know. Go in there with the feeling, capture the feeling, write the song that captures the feeling. And so that song, Brujita, that we just heard came as a result of a conversation me and Eldorado Jones had a few hours before he took his flight to move to L.A. And we were sitting in the car, and I was playing that record, and we were talking about one of my favorite movies, which is Desperado with Antonio Banderas and Selma Hayek. And that's how that record came about. Like, I'm sitting here, we just talking about this movie and talking about music and listening to music while we drinking liquor, chilling. And I just wrote it, you know. So it is a lot of bravado on this, because this is probably like some of the most aggressive and confident Psychosis you're going to hear, because I wasn't trying to please everybody. I was just trying to be like, look, I'm dope, and we need to know I'm dope. So here we go. And here's all the reasons. But also it was bigger than just about me being good or dope. It was about, let me show you guys another trick I've learned on how to put this music out, how to tell these stories. So that's what it's about.
Would you say that, or how would you describe it? I think you already have. How would you describe the growth period between Mostly Me Too and Almost Cool Enough? Because you just gave us about a decade and a half to unpack various growth periods in your life. So, and of course, I was there for a lot of the process between these two projects. Can you speak to what growth took place, or what trajectory were you on between Mostly Me Too, the recording, as well as the marketing, the performance of it, and now with Almost Cool Enough? What changes did you go through, if any? Maybe it's just a progression.
One change was I'm the type of guy who could just rap all day and rap every day about anything at any time because that's how I grew up. We grew up having to freestyle three times a day on the way to high school and on the way home and in the lunchroom, 3C Lunch. Shout out Thornton, 3C Lunch. But
that is cool.
I had to force myself to wait in order, and I had to force myself to wait to write music. This is just me. This ain't necessarily for everybody. I wanted my mind to be in a different state every time I approached a project. And so it was hard for me, mostly me too, with me coming back after 6.5 years with an album. And I'm a guy who could have made, you know, 6 songs a day if I had a studio and just the time to do it. But I wanted to wait until I had something different to say, till my mind was in a different state of mind. And so what I was saying would come out differently. I would hear music differently. I hear the beats differently. And on this project, between this one and Mostly Me Too that came out last March, this one coming out August of this year, there's been a lot of growth in my life. When I made Mostly Me Too, I was teetering right on the line, you know, with starting up the album, Sam, and I'm afraid, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Should I just quit rapping and go back to school and get a master's degree, PhD, or, you know, figure out some other kind of whatever my life's supposed to look like? Or am I supposed to convince myself that this is actually all worth it and it actually makes sense that I'm about to be mid-30s and I should keep going with music even though I know it sounds ridiculous? So I was scared of that at first. Besides that, I also work for the Cook County Sheriff's Department. And over the period of the last 3 years, I went from working with kids in schools and teaching violence prevention to working with severe violent offenders in some cases inside a maximum class facility jail, which is how you get records like Kites. So a lot of life happened. You know, I bought a house. I had a kid, as I mentioned. But also my father got released from prison earlier this year in March, and he was in the studio with us to do some of these records. The day I picked him up, we did Right Here, and we did Nonstop on March 1st. That's the day I picked him up. So shout out to Edward Jones, who was there with me for that process. So a lot of life happened, a lot of growth happened, and I knew, you know, I know one thing. I know I can write music. I know I can rap. But it's bigger than that when you're an artist, right? It's like, how do you tell a story in a way that makes the most sense? And one thing you told me, Eldorado Jones, you said, you and my pops told me, you said, you're a storyteller. Like, you can't run away from telling stories. Like, you be wanting to just rap and do show off the punchlines, which I do a little bit of that on songs like That's a Bet. But for the most part, you're a storyteller, so keep telling stories. And I had to accept that, and that's what happened on this record.
And I think it's working for you.
Absolutely.
I think so, too. You know, what I kind of derive, and I'm going to pull a little bit of Barbara Walters moment on you for a second here.
Let's go.
Well, because I'm family, bro, and it's like,
absolutely.
I know the changes that have occurred in your life. You know, you talk about your father, but then you also talk about El Dorado, that talk you had before you moved to the West Coast. How much of a pertinent aspect? Because, I mean, you're used to having El Dorado Jones right there. You know, you're not used to having your pops in a studio with you. How much more layers or complexity did it add to Psychosis?
Well, my dad did about 30 out of my 35 years behind bars. And one of the biggest issues was dealing with substance abuse. I think right now, in the last couple of years with the opioid epidemic, people have been a lot more sympathetic to people with addiction problems than they were in the 80s when my dad started his. So I think for me, what it really meant, the biggest thing that it meant was to show other people that it was possible. It wasn't necessarily a moment for me or necessarily a moment for him. It was in my mind, like, I need other people to see this redemption moment that my dad's having. And it doesn't mean he's forgiven for everything he's done wrong. And it doesn't mean that it's wiped away and everything's fine now. But it's just the fact that this is literally the same day he got out of prison, and then we went and created this art. And I think people need to see me. I need to see it, and I wanted people to see me not hold it against him, but also him knowing the weight of that moment. You know, I think if you ask him, the weight of that moment probably struck him a little more after the fact because it was just a lot to process. But every day I'm in that jail, so I think redemption is a big part of what a lot of people need. They're trying to figure out how they can be valuable in society. And art is just one of the ways that I add value to society, but sometimes it's just a matter of being there. Like, just being there, standing there, you don't necessarily have to have money. You don't necessarily have to, you know what I'm saying, have it all figured out or have the answers. You just need to be present. And so that's what it meant for me more than anything was, like, I felt like we were all present, and we all had, you know, dedicated that time to being present to make this music for some kid across the world who I may or may not ever meet. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I look at it.
You know, I feel you on that, homie, because a lot of people, I don't even know if y'all know this about me, but my mother married some dude when I was 7 years old who beat on me. They shipped me off to military school. I had to stay with, you know, guardians during the summertime, during the holidays. I never knew my family. So, you know, I come back to Cali. I was 16 years old, graduated with honors from military school. And I go up to my mom's house, and she said, what the fuck you want from me? And I was like, okay. And so I ended up living in my car. And I put my life together. I built my life. You know, I met an old man that instilled some knowledge in me, but I did all the hard work. And at 30 years old, right before I was getting ready to move to the dirty state, Missouri, my mom told me she loved me. That was the first time in my life my mother ever said, I love you. Mm-hmm. And then she told me why. And so a lot of people don't understand what real life is about and how it changes. You know, I don't hate my mother. I love my mother. You know, when a woman looks at you and tells you, I took an ass whooping every day of the week because I had six other kids to feed, and I didn't mean to, you know, ship you off. I did it because I loved you. And then tells you, I love you. You know, it changes you. It adds complexity to you. It adds depth to you. Now, that aspect is cool. And before we play this next track, I want to ask a little bit deeper, if you don't mind, how hard was it for you not to have El Dorado on your right hand all of a sudden when he moved out to the West Coast?
I think, you know, the truth of the matter is, before my dad got out, I took El Dorado to visit him a few times. And I took him for more than one reason. The biggest one was I think I knew that it would help him understand who I was as a person better and the way I think and the way I move. But the process of my dad being locked up, my dad used to always say to me, you know, you pull me out when you need me. You know, I'm right inside. I'm right there with you. Pull me out when you need me. Which is a line I end up saying in the song Kites. That's directly from him. So I said it to say, I learned that when people are real and you have a real connection, a real relationship with you, you know, El Dorado is only physically not next to me. You know what I mean? But nothing changed in terms of how close he is to me. You know what I mean? Because this what we're doing right now is a fact of it. Like, when he's physically next to me, we're going to move as we're physically next to each other. But we already laid the groundwork to be all the other forms of connected as much as needed. So it wasn't super hard in the sense that what I knew was literally when he left, I said, I need to go record an album because I need to get to work. I don't need to get comfortable. I need to go get uncomfortable just like he was about to do. And I didn't know how I was going to do it or how I was going to pay for it. I didn't have a beat set. I didn't have anybody willing to help support it. You know what I mean? I didn't have no guest feature. I was like, you'll need it. It'll show up. You know, if you build it, they will come type of mentality. So, you know, El Dorado's right here, man. He ain't went nowhere. You know what I'm saying? We right here because we built this foundation to be right here, no matter where we at.
I'll add to that real quick. I know I've said many times over the past couple of years, I would tell psychosis, like, so, we're not going to see each other every day, and we're not supposed to. If we, if we're able to sit in each other's face on a daily basis, we're not busy enough. And
we
said multiple times, like, you know, we're aiming for and we're going towards a goal that's going to have us in different time zones. You're going to need to be in England. I'm going to need to be in Australia. That's the trajectory that we shoot for. And we build, as he said, building a foundation that is solid. So once things come into fruition and once the pieces are in play, we can execute multiple strategies, multiple tactics at one time. That's always been the goal. So now this is just the unveiling of a layer. You know what I'm saying?
A layer of growth, actually. You know, it's
Absolutely.
Yeah. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and play another track from Psychosis called That's a Bet. I know I could pronounce that right.
Yeah. That's a bet.
I was lost on that first one because my brother throwing Spanish at me. I'm like, what's up with that?
Hey, man.
Here we go.
Out, man. Hey, shout out to you.
You know it ain't every day. But sometimes we gotta do it. Somebody gotta do it. D's, that's the bet.
$1,500 folded, that's a bet. Haley can't stop it, just cop it, sold it, that's a bet. Hey, secure the bag, remove the tag, know that that's a bet. Hey, your chick watches, popping, hold it, that's a bet. Hey, $1,500 folded, that's a bet. Haley can't stop it, just cop it, sold it, that's a bet. Hey, secure the bag, remove the tag, know that that's a bet. Hey, your chick watches, popping, hold it, that's a bet. Hey, that's a bet like a poker chip. I'm on ultra drip. Ain't shit on me, designer, but find a note to get notices. And your notices, know your flow not as cold as this. Nova Scotia's ultimate, let them fly, then reload the clip. Talking like soldiers, hope you come back like soldiers did. Keep a bomber jacket with f***ies on me like POTUS did. That's Obama, comma, keep an eye on Futurama. Not from this planet, I just put on this black suit for armor. Electric executor, I'm flexing like Lex and Luthor. I'm texting my ex-seducer, then taking a hair Medusa. Back like Mansa Musa, I'm kinda in Kama Sutra. Give you the D like a gym teacher when you ain't trying to suit up. I'm from the shot, we shoot up, quick as a spoon of needle. My Mercury in retrograde, me and the moon is evil. How come the best box always attached to a quacky pain in that earth, but she uses spit like she Daffy Duck. And I might cuff her, she tag along like a Danny Glover. My mama hate her, but lied and told her the family love her. Listen, I'm flying hover, my sneakers untie each other. But we were sleeping head to feet and didn't lie in covers. The bubble baths and dish detergent, the shit disturbing. That's why the slick of the wrist is slick as the sickest surgeon. Look how we put that work in, look how we stir the pot. Look how we win a franchise, came back and stir the block. $1,500 folded, that's a bet. Hey, they can't stop it, just cop it, sold it, that's a bet. Hey, secure the bag, remove the tag, know that that's a bet. Hey, your chick watches, pop and hold it, that's a bet. Hey, $1,500 folded, that's a bet. Hey, they can't stop it, just cop it, sold it, that's a bet. Hey, secure the bag, remove the tag, know that that's a bet. Hey, your chick watches, pop and hold it, that's a bet. Hey, cash liquid, I'm sick with head to the shoe game. Scotty carrying me out the mall in these flu games. Steady playing, I'm steady mobbing like Wu-Tang. Save her number, but change her name like she 2 Chainz. We do this often, compress the death like the newest coffin. Come dipping salsam, it's awesome, tossum, flip it like dolphin. I must have lost him with all his flossing, probably would cost him. She doing tricks in her home alone like Macaulay Culkin. Tell her to take a picture, she quote me like sacred scripture. Keep secrets like Vegas with you, or watch how that laser hit you. Flexing, flossing, we the shoot. Check our record, we legit. Get a bag and make it flip. Buy a block and not a brick. $1,500 folded, that's a bet. Hey, they can't stop it, just cop it, sold it, that's a bet. Hey, secure the bag, remove the tag, know that that's a bet. Hey, your chick watches, pop and hold it, that's a bet. Hey, $1,500 folded, that's a bet. Hey, they can't stop it, just cop it, sold it, that's a bet. Hey, secure the bag, remove the tag, know that that's a bet. Hey, your chick watches, pop and hold it, that's a bet. Hey.
crazy as hell. I'm like a poker chip on drip.
give us the term That's a Bet. Where did that title come from, and how is it related to the actual cover of the album?
Sure. Before I forget, shout out Young Keo, who produced That's a Bet. Young Keo is the same cat who produced Old Town Road, if you didn't know. So that's a record.
Hold on, run that
I
back.
Like,
that's a dope insider tip. Run that back. He says,
So That's a Bet produced by Young. Yeah, he's produced by Young Keo, the same cat who produced Old Town Road by Lil Nas X.
You
the
don't
current
think.
Longest number one single ever in history. I got a record. I didn't know that when I picked the track from him. I just thought it was a dope beat. And so I found out after I made the song that it was the same producer from Old Town Road, which actually it just added a new, like, huh. You know, because going back to the Almost Cool Enough thing was, here I am making a song, you know, with a producer who also has the longest number one single in history on radio at the same time. And a lot of people have no idea that it's the same producer, but here I am feeling like I'm doing just as good as anybody in the industry on the same record. So Almost Cool Enough. The term That's a Bet, you hear me at the beginning of the song, shouting out my brother Ant D's, which again Don McGuire talked about our family down in the Show Me State, St. Louis, Hustle City. My homie D's, he was one of the first people I met from St. Louis. I went to college at Truman State University, which is in Missouri. And so he and I met in school, and immediately we noticed how different we all talked. Like we Chicago and St. Louis are only like 4 hours away, but the vernacular is totally different. So like I would know that they would say stuff like "not for real," or "that's a bet." You know, he would say things. So a lot of stuff he would say that was funny to me when I first met him now become things I say, you know, to talk myself back to St. Louis. In the same way that we built this foundation, so even when we're not around each other, we're still around each other. You did, so. And D's, he's the one on the album cover with me. He's the one who kind of inspired me in college to keep going. He also introduced me to the homie Chris, which is the time mechanism to all of us. Which is also how I got introduced to Matt at Suburban Pro Studio in St. Louis. Shout out to Matt, who's on tour right now with My Posse in Effect. So anyway, like D's has just been a glue in all of this music and all in this big part of my life, and so I wanted to take it back to the roots. The first time I went to St. Louis, I took a picture of Aunt D's on front of his mom's porch, and that picture on the album is in front of the same porch at his mom's crib. Shout out Ms. Love, who always hold me down. Every time she see me, "Are you hungry?" And she always showed me mad love. So I took that picture. I took that picture on my birthday. She's like, "All right, E, well, here's some stuff for your baby. Now make sure you take it back. Now I left the tags on it in case she just changed it." "Yes, ma'am. Don't worry. He'll fit it. He'll be." So I took that picture right before I came home after I finished the album, man. So that's what we ran with.
Full circle.
I love it though, man, because you get it, man. See, to the world that's listening right now. Okay, I lived here when I was like 18 to 19, and I lived up in Wentzville, you mm-hmm. know, right outside of Loop. And then mm-hmm. I moved back here when I was 30. I'm 55 now, so really I've lived longer in Missouri than I have anywhere else. And so I'm always going to the East Coast, the West Coast, or whatever, and I talk to people, and they look at me like, "What did you say?" They'll be like, you know, I'm tripping because on the real, man, it's like they don't even. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I do this show, but then I come out with something, and an artist will call me after I interviewed him or had him on the program, and they'll say, "Bruh, what were you talking?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And
right.
Our terminology is different. I don't know. It's like in the Lou, we've created our own lingo, man. Even when Bone Thugs and Harmony came here and I shot their tour and we picked them up at the hotel and they was looking at me like, "What this nigga just say?" And I was like, bro, let me break it for you this way. Lazy was cool with it. Lazy knew exactly what I was talking about, but Crazy and all that was looking at me like, bro, you know. And even though we picked him up, it was like I was speaking a foreign language to him. So just to let the hip hop world know, we got our own, like Cali got their Ebonics. We got our own. I don't even know how we talk out here in the Midwest. How would you correlate it, El Dorado?
Man, we got our own Midwest lexicon, bro. A Midwest.
That's what it is. Right. That's definitely
what we lay it down, man.
And you know,
we got our own flavor.
And we rock with it that way in Chicago, because if you hear me, you know, even when I talk, you know, people, depending on who I'm talking to, they point it out to me. I combine vernacular slang from so many different cities, you know, from New York to Chicago to St. Louis, because we got to Memphis, because we got family and friends that live in all these places. So, you know, you might hear me say, "What's good, B?" Followed by, "That's a bet," you know, and not for real,
yeah,
in the same sentence, just because, like, every, you know, we bring it all together. But that's also, it's also something powerful in it, because, again, I use words for a living. You know what I mean? Not just in music, but every day, every single thing I say determines what happens next. So I look at it as an advantage. You know, we are sponge. We can absorb up all different ways to communicate, no matter who you are. And so that, in that song, I'm using that in the hook. But you also catch, you know, some of my slang, some Chicago slang. And you catch some slick talk and the bravado that El Dorado mentioned, and you catch me doing that while dancing on the beat. Like I when we were in the studio, I was telling Matt, I'm like, "Matt, this sounds like the Trap Nutcracker, like ding 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 ding." It's like this gonna get stuck in somebody's head. It's like the Trap Nutcracker, like this is a Broadway musical, but it's in the hood. And so that's how I was thinking about it when I wrote it, man. And I'm glad how it came out.
Yeah, I'm glad too. Before I toss it to El Dorado, you know, I want to let people know, because, you know, there's thousands of artists trying to get into the industry.
Yeah.
But I've seen I know an artist personally that was famous, and then he wasn't famous. And I'm speaking of Tech N9ne. You know, he was very famous in the beginning. You got to remember, Tech N9ne's from here. You know, that's my homie.
Yeah.
You know, and then I got to see him. Yeah, legendary now. But people don't want to talk about the moment that he was doing shows downtown, not 15 minutes from my house, and wasn't even bringing 12 to 20 people in the crowd. You know, and this is what correlates him with you, El Dorado, which is a trip. Because he recognized that he was going nowhere here, and he went out to the West Coast. But he happened to go out to the West Coast at the most opportune time, when trap and hip-hop were correlating. And then you had the recreation of Tech N9ne, and now he's legendary. You know, you look at that, and you look at you and Psychosis, and you both are basically following in that footsteps. You're redefining.
Absolutely.
And you're finding your niche as, you know, single artists, but you're doing it in a collaborative effort as a family with Greater Than Self. Each one of you is your own entity, but at the end of the day, it's a family. You know,
absolutely,
we talk about the homie Chris. That's my boy. You know,
absolutely.
You know, so really, this album is an album of growth. It's an album of dexterity, of layers. And then on top of that, I got to say, Psychosis, you're one of the coolest dudes as far as sharing family and sharing you on social media, because, man, it shows a true side to you. And then when you listen to your music, your heart comes out. And that's what has me defined and following you and bumping your music, because, man, you can't say any more than it's real. You know, it's not that fake ass shit that you hear on the radio. See, that's the difference with me. I don't really listen to what's out on the radio, man, because, like, El Dorado, when we had TJ Superhype on, you know, he forgot about the terminology ringtone rappers, you know, and I brought up mumble rappers. You know, it kills me because there's artists like both of y'all that truly deserve that limelight, that truly deserve it. You know, when El Dorado hit me up, he said, who are we having on the show today? I said, I just want to have Psychosis. I want to showcase him. Because, bro, you earned it. You deserved it. You have the right to be where you're at. And really, that's all I got coming from me, El Dorado.
I mean,
I appreciate it.
I believe, first of all, man, what you just said was some of the trillest shit ever, and is well received. I think that Almost Cool Enough as a project is definitely a time marker, and it shows a lot of growth. As you said, you were dancing on the track. One of the biggest things that I'm proud of you, brother to brother, with this album is your progression of not only songwriting but song delivery. And I know behind the scenes we've had conversations in the studio and out. And I, you know, as we both give each other direction, sometimes I tell you, yo, pull back on this song. Don't rap this shit. Talk on this song. Like, don't rap to him. Just be. And that's one of the biggest that technique, going back to the martial arts of MCing, which is what we do, knowing how, all right, I'm going to kill you with my delivery on this one, whereas That's a Bet is a very rapidy rap song versus Kite, which is very conversational. You can take the beat away, and it's almost just, it sounds like a narration of several letters. Knowing how and when to use these techniques is a Jedi level master trick that we continue to sharpen. And I salute you for your growth and your continued growth and your continued work at getting better at your craft. Many people our age and younger, definitely older, would have stopped long ago in growing in their selves and getting comfortable. And you've never allowed yourself to get comfortable in a certain sound. And you continue to push the bar and push yourself. And for that, I salute you, brother.
I appreciate it. Both of y'all, man, both of what y'all just said. I think, to your point, Don, about radio, I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't want to hear Brujito on the radio. But at the same time, I think the difference right now between where I'm at now and where I was is that I think my goal now is to make the listener go, man, why ain't this shit on radio? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we are on radio.
That is what I'm saying. Like, or mainstream, you know, the mainstream consistent rotation, you know what I mean, for FM, for satellite.
Yeah.
I want the listener to see, like, listen, we have
radio.
The ability. Yeah, we have the ability to make these songs, but we will make them better. You know what I mean? Like, I think younger me used to focus on just being completely different than all of the mainstream artists. And now I don't necessarily see myself as completely different. I just see myself as, well, this is the organic version, the watered down version that you guys are consuming. This is what it really should taste like. It's we can make melodies that you sing along to. We can make party records that you ride to. We can make bangers that you turn up in your whip. We can do all of that. And then we can tell you stories as good as J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar and all those other people. So I think that's been my goal, is to be – I look at it as all of the mainstream artists have a resource in the form of money. And that if they have all this money from them, where's them or their company, this is the best that they can do, then we're going to be light years ahead, because we're doing this with no help. You know, and it's just us and sharpening each other. So I speak that, you know, I definitely accept both of y'all pouring that into me, man. Those affirmations, they mean a lot, man. The same day I finished this album, I had a spike of about 20,000 fans playing my music in Moscow and Ukraine.
Crazy.
They were playing ironically, the song that they latched on to is a song called Worship, which is me and the homie Chris, produced by Petrovsky of Sky Beats, who's from Ukraine. And so I thought about that. Today, Mostly Me Too is more popular than it was when I dropped it. You know, it's more popular than it was in March of 2018. It's more popular right now than it was then.
As it should.
And it's the feeling that all we got to do is keep waking up and keep making music and keep being good. And these things will keep happening. People like Don will come into our life and give us shout outs like this and give us looks like this. That's all we got to keep doing. Like it's somebody somewhere who I'm their favorite. They're comparing me. It's some kid who's like Psychosis. When I was a young kid, I used to argue that Lil Wayne was a great rapper. And I would argue him against other people. And people would look at me like I was nuts. That's how I came up with the name Psychosis. There's some little kid arguing that Psychosis is better than Kendrick Lamar or Jay-Z or whatever. And his friends are laughing at him like, are you kidding me? Dude's a nobody. And that little kid's going, nah, y'all wrong. I'm doing this for him, you know. And that little kid also happens to be inside of my head. So we're going to keep going.
Legit. You know, to my listeners on iHeartRadio or Univision, the more downloads of this episode, the more we get aired in succession. You know, one thing you didn't know, Psychosis, is since the last time you've been on the show, we've been added to an FM transmitter, which is CastBox FM. So the show is actually being streamed live on multiple stations across the country and the world, as we speak. So, I know that feeling, bro. I know that almost cool enough feeling. You know, I came in to this radio, you know, through mixed martial arts and all that aspects. But then I said, you know, I shoot concerts. Why don't I give back to them? They put food on my table. And so I started bringing and doing music shows, which I won't water down because – you know, the fans love them. You know, everybody loves sports, but I'll tell you what, my music numbers are higher. And my sponsor told me, he said, hey, bro, everybody likes the fights, but people love the music. So with that being said, you know, music is international. Your people in the Ukraine are probably listening to now because I got listeners in the Ukraine. So, you know, no telling who's listening to this. But the point I was trying to make is, you know, I started out a guy that had maybe 923 listens on my first show. And here I'm sitting anywhere. Well, me and El Dorado did TJ Super Hype and the Foo Fighters, we're sitting at close to 700,000. So, that's a lot of people from a dude that went from 900 and something. You know, so
absolutely.
It just shows that it's not me. It's the artist I'm bringing on. It's what the world wants to hear. I mean, they want to hear the real. You know, and my correlation with radio, even though I am a radio show, was, you know, I don't want it to be in, oh, this is Rick D's weekly top 10. You know, get the fuck out of here with that. You know? I ain't no correlated commercial car salesman. Get the hell out of here with that.
And,
you know,
and
I want the
so
real
glad
people of the
not.
Industry.
Yeah, so glad
but I want
not.
The real people of the industry to hear it because El Dorado will tell you, I sit on thousands of shows, bruh. Sit countless hours looking for artists. And, you know, back in the day, it was easy. Because I like to bring on new and up-and-coming talent onto my show with legends. But it just ain't out there no more, man. It's almost like a lot of these artists don't follow in the footsteps of their predecessors. So before we drop this next beat, Psychosis, when you look back into what you create, who was the artist that allowed you to become the predecessor?
Oh man. I listen to music the same way I watch movies, right? A really good movie not only has good characters, but it has a plot that you didn't see coming. Right? It puts characters that are different in a situation that might be familiar, but what they do in that situation is one you don't see coming. Even if you've seen this movie before, the way this movie did it was different. And I try to make my music the same way. A lot of people that I grew up listening to, they just painted real vivid pictures with words. And that was just incredibly impressive to me as a shy 2-year-old kid who wasn't tall enough to hoop with the Hoopers. And who really didn't know how to talk about his father being in prison. That was just impressive to me. So it started with groups like Psychodrama from Chicago, which is one of me and Eldorado's inspirations. That's one of the first things we had in common when we became friends. We talked about Psychodrama. They had a song called Magic, which was just, it just blew my mind. I don't know what year that was. You're the year guy. What was that, 94?
94.
All right. So I'm getting better. 1994, I hear a song called Magic, and I just put it on repeat. Like it just blew my mind to hear a group of three artists going back and forth so smooth on a record, but at the same time aggressive. It was just amazing to me. And so fast forward, I hear artists like Cannabis and this demand with wordplay and using these big three-syllable words, but also doing it in such an aggressive way that it was mind-blowing. I hear artists like Eminem, and then I hear some of the legends and some of the mainstream artists that we all know, from LL to DMX to Method Man, Twista, just all of these people. It's too many to name, but all of these people. But even right now today, I get on the internet and I go find people that are just better than me. I'm like, that person just amazes me. Like King Crooked, I listen to him, and he does something with words that still blows my mind. I listen to a female MC from New Orleans. Her name is called 3D Nati. If you haven't heard of her, check her out. She blows my mind. She's a hero. And she's a lot more popular, quote unquote, than I am, but she's also in the same boat of almost cool enough, trying to kind of cross that threshold into mainstream, whatever that is. So I still listen to people that blow my mind. And, you know, Eldorado Jones, the homie Chris, they blow my mind. We're not just friends. We also inspire each other. You know, like when I hopped off the Amtrak in St. Louis and I hopped in the car with Eldorado right after he recorded Shooting Stars and Chandeliers, like I almost flew to the top of the Science Center right there. I guess it was over with. I was just like, this is incredible. So, it's a lot of people, but basically anybody who knows how to tell an amazing story, use words, imagery, from a Lupe Fiasco to a J. Cole, I listen to anybody. But it ain't all deep, though. Sometimes it's just, man, Shorty really swagged over that beat. He didn't say shit, but he swagged on it. So what if I actually said something while using his swag? That's how you get records like this. it's some artists where that's all they're good at. They really good at that, though. So I'm like, normally you don't hear people who good at using words that's also good at, you know, singing or you know, swagging out. And I try to be I try to show that I have all of these tools in my arsenal. So everybody inspires me. Even the whack artists inspire me now.
I got one more question, then I'm a drop to Eldorado, and then we're gonna play Kites. You know, this music industry is like the industry that I work in full time. You know, it's brutal.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, how does an artist define himself? I mean, because I'm glad I got both of you on here because I can ask you both this question. Actually, you look at who, you know. Excuse me, you look at Tech, you know, as we used an example earlier, and people like Mystical who had that flair, that, you know, had that radio play aspect to them. Then you got my homie who I've known almost my whole life, Brother Lynch Hung, who will never get radio play.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he became famous in his own right because he refused to conform. You know, and I don't like that word conformity because it's BS. But how does an artist find that level that gets you out there so you don't have to stay underground but doesn't put you in that sellout aspect?
Stay true. I'm gonna jump in and say that first. Pardon me, brother. But
I
gotta
already
say
know.
stay true. The number one thing is staying true to yourself. And this is what I mean. Psychosis just said it. Somewhere inside his head or outside, there's a kid who's arguing he's as good as every, if not better than every artist that's being played 20 times a day. And if you stay true, if you stay true to yourself, that authenticity comes through. And there is somebody to appreciate the same art that you appreciate. As you just said, with Brother Lynch Hung, and ironically, he ended up in the in Tech N9ne's camp, and that's not an accident. But he cultivated over years, really pioneered the whole horror hop, trip hop genre before it was even a name. He was doing that in the late 80s, 90s. He pioneered that sound and that style to the point I don't think he considers himself that, but he was, at least for me, the start of that. So he got notoriety from not being able to be played. They couldn't play his music on the radio, which put him in a different category, in a different class, and he, by staying true, created his own lane. Staying true. You look at artists that have the greatest longevity are the ones that stay true. E-40. I don't think E-40 ever conformed. I think E-40 sounds every bit of Vallejo today as he did in 91. I don't think conformed.
Yeah, but I hate to cut you off there, but don't you think there was a transitional aspect or change when it was E-40 and the click to just being E-40?
I think that he matured in his sound, but I don't think he ever deviated from his roots. To the point, I'll give you a great example. A lot of what we hear now with DJ Mustard, that's full circle, because that style was pioneered first by Too Short and then picked up by E-40. So when you stay true to what you do, eventually fame will find you. If you chase fame, you end up looking like a goofy. And that's when you see artists that will do anything for fame. Fame is an elusive whore. If you chase her, you will always end up burned. But when you
shout out to Daniel, a.k.a. Takashi.
I'll give you another example. Look at 3-6 Mafia. Look at 3-6 Mafia. Never conformed. Yeah. To the point they made an album called Most Known Unknown. Now, in 2019, they're the most sampled group on the radio right now. They're getting more play on the radio as samples than they ever did with the original song. Why? Because eventually, if you stay true, that table will turn. If you don't lose your seat, and if you don't get up from the table, eventually that table will turn. You just have to stay sitting at the table. And I think a lot of people, when it gets rocky, they end up losing that seat. They get up off the table before that table turns their way. If you stay true, the table always turns. That's the one fact of life. The table will always turn. Stay at the table and stay true.
I think to add to what Eldorado just said is also good is good. You know, like if something is good, it's good. It doesn't matter what, you know, it doesn't matter how familiar you are with it. It doesn't matter whether it's your preference. Even when it's not your preference or your taste, it's still good, and you have to acknowledge good work. And so, as an artist, I don't blame the artist. I used to blame the artist directly, but I don't blame them anymore, because the artist, whether they're super talented or no talented at all, they're usually the last person that's actually responsible for how we even hear of them. You know, there's the publicist, there's the manager, there's, you know, there's all of these corporations involved before we hear somebody's song, usually. And so all of those people should have made sure that artwork was good or that it was relevant. Those people don't really care. It's a capitalist society. So I guess for artists, the first thing you got to ask yourself, well, what are you doing it for? If you're going to be a capitalist, meaning try to make as much money as possible, then don't do anything I did. Because
at all.
Don't do anything I did, because you're doing the opposite of what would get you the most money. What you should do is pick the lyric song, pick the last song that was hot and make one just like it and keep doing that if you want to be a capitalist. However, as Eldorado Jones said, that will give you, and as Don McGuire said, that will give you a very short lifespan. It might work once, and it'll get you known, but then it'll be over with. If you want to stay, you have to do what's real, and you have to do what's authentic and organic to you. It doesn't mean, again, don't do anything everybody else is doing and completely reject it. It just means if you're going to do it, everybody wants to rap. Everybody's a rapper. So what makes you any different? You know what I mean? It has to be something about you that makes you different. And I think for me, what makes me different is I finally realized I can be more than one person on any given song or album. That I can do multiple things and I don't have to pick. Because the me singing in a church at 12 years old, the same year I was learning to freestyle, those both come out on this album you heard. The young me picked one or the other. Now it's no. That experience can be helpful with this. So it's all about what are we doing this for? In 2019, most people are doing it for likes, views, follows, retweets. But 10 years ago, that didn't even exist. So the market is always going to change. It's going to change again. I just read an article yesterday about Instagram, about the experiment, and we're getting rid of likes. So what are people going to do when likes leave? You know, what are people going to do when this whole platform changes again? The only thing that's going to matter is, are you still true to the art, like Eldorado just said? Because this whole system that we're doing right now, it's going to survive for another, I don't know, a few years before it changes again. You know, so we've been here through all of it. We've been here through burning CDs when that was a thing to do, to, you know, printing up T-shirts when that was a thing to do, through being some of the first people to open up a Facebook page, an Instagram account, a YouTube account, Twitter account. Like, we're old enough to say we were here for the entire branding of the current structure of music. I was there when we were downloading instrumentals off LimeWire. And you waited all night to download off LimeWire because your damn internet was dialed. But now the whole system is off of streaming. So it's going to change. It's going to keep changing. And you should change too. You shouldn't do it to get popular. You should change to get better.
And let me say this.
And that's kind of what I feel about it.
I don't mean to cut you off. Staying true doesn't mean don't adapt. That's a great point you just said. Staying true does not mean that you should not adapt. I think adaptation and conforming are different because the intention is different. If you're able to adapt, that's recognizing the changes, looking for the change, and making sure that you're moving with, if not ahead of that curve. Whereas conformity is, oh, that's what y'all doing. Well, let me do that too. I can't beat them. Let me join them. Adaptation says, oh, I can beat them. I just got to find out how.
Yeah, and I think, to me, that's my and our biggest strength, period. Our biggest strength is we constantly adapt, but we don't do it in a clout chasing manner. We do it in a, y'all gonna follow me, watch. when I played Brujita the first time, just like when you played it today, people's reaction to it is like, man, I'm not really sure how to feel about that. I go, that's perfect. Because you've never heard, maybe you've heard something that reminds you of, but you've never heard anything like it. I know you haven't. And so that to me, our versatility is our biggest weapon. And so long as you keep that with you, somebody will come find it from you. They're going to want that out of you. And don't be afraid to be bold. I know we're going to shoot to kite. Real quick, I want to say this because I mentioned this earlier. When I was writing Kite, I kept thinking of Eminem's Stand, the song Stand by Eminem in the video, because I was trying to think of the most impactful song I've ever heard. And that song actually won for me. It's not the best song I've ever heard, but it was the most emotionally impactful song I've ever heard, because I remember to this day, and my memory is not great on timelines like this, I remember to this day when Free and AJ showed the video for Stan, 106 in Park. And if you remember 106 in Park on BET, when they showed the videos, the crowd cheers and everybody's, yay, this is our new video today, right? And they played the video for Stan, and Free and AJ was looking like, what the fuck?
The entire crowd.
What are we supposed to do? Yeah, what are we supposed to do now? That just ruined the entire show. It was amazing because it was like, what was that? It was completely left from everything that had ever come out before it. It was completely left, and it was just, it was like a, it was like you dropped an atomic bomb on national television because nobody was ready for somebody who just completely could care less with that, what you expected out of a rap song, especially on BET. And that's exactly what I was thinking. I would never forget that. And I had to tell myself, like, go back into that space. Like, make it hurt, but make it real. And, like, make people not be able to turn away from this song. And that's hopefully what you get out of it. Because the message behind the song is very, very deep. But I wanted people to not be able to turn away. The same way I couldn't stop watching the Stan video on 106 in Park when I saw it as a kid.
Most Def, man. Most Def. You know what? We're going to go ahead and drop Kites and let the world make their own decision. Here we go.
Do it with your love letters. I try to make me feel better. I
know this wasn't
finally got you out my bed,
the way we pictured it going.
Can't get you out my head.
Sometimes situations manifest
themselves.
I just want you to, can you pass this to my son, please? Like, I know you've done with me, but can you please just pass these letters to him?
60 cents for this stamp envelope off a commissary. 50 cents for this pen, 70 cents for this paper. I hope bro do this favor and spot me later. Hit me with $1.80 to write my lady about my baby and ask for pictures. He almost two now. I've been hit three calendars, filled all these challenges. One was supposed to pass, didn't come close to class. Funny, it's all adding up sooner than later. Wounds will get greater, pains will get deeper. My cellular preacher, my mind full of creatures. Dreams and nightmares, no bond like Meek Mill. I'm scared to sleep still. I spit off three pills, we call them new news. Don't f*** with new dudes. You talk too much, we roll your much for fun, a honey bun. Maybe a pack of noodles, so call a white shirt. I hope my way for it. Any other day besides visitation, my situation is litigation. I sit impatient at these years I'm facing. I'm nervous pacing, pull out my only picture, my son Jason. Kiss his face and I'm gone.
Do it with your love letters. I thought it'd make me feel better. I finally got you out my bed, but I still can't get you out my head. Do it when you love letters. I try to make me feel better. I finally got you out my bed, but I still can't get you out my head. Ooh.
2701 for this Quran. Inshallah, we meet again on the other side of the storm. See, I'm bound by shackles and fences in my physical form. Yet my spirit is free. What you seek is inside you, son. Much I've learned, much I've lost. It's been a long time at a cost. Forgave myself and all my flaws. Then pulled me down off that cross and set to my fate. 60 years in the state with dinner trays and paper plates. Getting colder and older. It's like gray hairs froze in my face. All these years I've been silent. But now your mom say you wildin'. 16 and acting violent. Who else could I blame but me for talking tough a lot? Talking tough as pop. Talking f*** a op. And plus they suck a block. I'll get you shot and stuffed in blocks. Listen, Jason, I'm begging. Please don't go down this road. I know I made my mistakes, but hoping you learn from those. I know I should have been there, but still I love you, no doubt. Just pour me out when you need me. I'm locking up for the count
right now.
Do it when you love letters. I thought it'd make me feel better. I finally got you out my bed, but I still can't get you out my head. Ooh. Do it when you love letters. I thought it'd make me feel better. I finally got you out my bed, but I still can't get you out my head. Ooh.
$10 for my last phone call before they banned
last
it. Left a voicemail to say I'm sorry, hope you understand it. $39.88 for these pair of tennis shoes. I only need the strings, I'm hearing things, but I'm a bit confused. The news said that 19-year-old Jason was at the club as a patron, got into an altercation, shots fired impatient, probably wouldn't make it. So now these dreams around my neck, no disrespect, I couldn't face it. Goodbye.
Inmate at Southwestern Illinois Correctional Center. This call is subject to recording and monitoring. To accept charges, press 1. To refuse charges, press 2. If you would like to permanently block your number from receiving calls from this facility, press 6. For balance and rate quote, press 7. To accept charges, press 1. To refuse charges, press 2. If you would like to permanently block your number from receiving calls from this facility, press 6. For balance and rate quote, press 7.
Damn. El Dorado, I'm going to let you pick up on that, homie.
Hey, man, that was powerful. That was powerful.
Appreciate it.
You already touched a little bit or a lot of bit on the thought process behind it. I don't know, man. Give me a ratio. How much of that song was influenced by your own experience with Pops being locked up, and how much was influenced by your work in the county every day, dealing with inmates who are on the sender side? So you've been on the receiving end of those letters, and you work with guys who are on the sending end of those kites. Give me a breakdown. Like, what influenced you? How much was that your own life? How much of that was working with the guys?
Man, the answer is 100% to both. It was 100% all, because all of it was my life. You know what I'm saying? All of it has been my life. And it's been part of my life for as long as I can remember, since I was 4. But me working every day, which, let me say this, I had no intention at all to ever work in the Cook County Jail or any other jail for that matter. I started working for the Sheriff's Department because we were doing violence prevention programs with kids. And if any of y'all know anything about Chicago, we get between 500 to 700 murders a year for the last decade. And so I wanted to be a part of trying to help change that and educate some kids. And then the program that I was in, the department I was in, got shut down. And I was sent to work in the jail for the last 3 years. And so it's a very sobering and ironic situation. You know, I'll talk about it a lot, but like when you deal with seeing people in jail, in prison, there's some trauma in that. There was a lot of trauma. So me being on the other side of the wall is post-traumatic. I was in, you know, the parking lot where a correctional officer tells me and my grandma to stand on the side of the car where they pull a German Shepherd to search the car. And I'm with my grandma. Like, what dope we bringing in to middle of wherever America into a prison? I've been in visiting rooms where if my dad hugged us too long, they thought we passed something to him, so they canceled the visit and sent us back home. I've been in visiting rooms where you got to get there early so you can get the Uno cards, the chess pieces, or stand in line to try to take the Polaroid picture. So that is my life. It's been a part of my life. And now every day I'm working with guys where that's still their life. But now I'm seeing all the intricate parts that I couldn't see from the visiting room. Now I see the cell. Now I can smell the building. Now I can watch the shackles, literally shackles, be put on and be put off. Now I'm watching the dinner trays as guys barter with a bag of chips as if it was money. Now I'm seeing all of that on the other side. So it's not something I want to see. It's very psychologically challenging to even deal with it. But the way that I deal with it best is I talk to the guys about it. You know, they live vicariously through me in some ways because I tell them who I am for real. I tell them not just about my music, but about my life, but about my pops, and I'm going to tell them about this tomorrow. And we're going to talk about this, and then I'm going to teach them how to do volume over cylinder, you know, for a GED test. So, like, that's real life. I couldn't make it up if I wanted to. What I see in there every day still pales in comparison to the actual song. But the song, I wanted to just I wanted to attack a topic from a different angle. We know criminal justice reform in the realms of politics, even from, you know, even from the White House right now. You know, Trump made some one of the things he did do that people all agree with was he did some criminal justice reform around people locked up in federal prisons. So everybody knows that the criminal justice system is not working the way it's supposed to. And a lot of people have yet to connect the dot to, it just so happens to be that the same people that are in that criminal justice system are the same people that's most likely to get shot when they leave there. And I'm connected to those people, always have been. So I wanted to tell that story, but also how the story becomes cyclic, because we never know the reason the character that I'm saying is locked up. We don't know what he did, but we know the impact that it's having on his family, on his relationship, and most importantly, on his son. And I just wanted to give it from a story instead of from a lyrical perspective or punchline perspective. I just wanted you to feel like you knew these characters, and partly you do, because I'm everything you hear is partly my life. That phone call at the end is literally a voicemail on my phone right now from my dad calling me from prison. So all of that's real. Shout out to Summer Walker, who I sampled her record. Don't sue me, Summer. Shout out to her and her and the team. But that's what Kites is about, man. So I feel very grateful that we were able to make that record.
Dope. Incredibly dope.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the story behind it, the story is powerful, man. That take me back, bro. That's as legit as it gets. You know, homie, I plan on doing an hour show. I could sit up on here and talk with y'all for 2-3 hours, bro. But
I'm sure.
I wanted to put a showcase on psychosis. And what I got was the man behind psychosis. And that's even more relevant in my page, in my book, because, you know, you're going to be heard. You know, like Eldorado said, stay true. But what you're doing is, and the growth has been incredible. Bruh, since the first time I heard your music to today, you're only growing, man. You know, that's what, like Eldorado said earlier, that's what makes that Almost Cool Enough even more relevant, because in my book, bruh, you already are, but in your heart and your mind, you ain't never going to be. You always just going to be you. You know, that man that's striving for greatness, dealing with the pain and the agony that you see day in and day out and that you live. What more could you, can you expect from an artist? You know, brother, it was a true honor to have you on and showcase you.
Absolutely.
And today's show was deep. Eldorado, what you got to say on our way out, bro?
Man, I got nothing, man. I'm in awe, and I know this man personally, but I love, I'm a fan. It's my brother, but at the same time, I'm a fan. I love the process. I love the direction he's been taking it. Real quick, man, I know we got some shows coming up. Tell us about some shows. I know we got this Almost Cool Enough tour that's in the
Absolutely,
works.
Man.
Talk about that.
First off, I'll be dropping a video for Vainglorious this Tuesday, October 1st, man. I'm very excited about it. It's the first video for the first record on the album. Vainglorious is produced by Superstar Beats out of Cali. Shout out to Superstar Beats. But this video is going to be crazy. It's going to be a lot of energy, so I'm looking forward to that. Check it out Tuesday. You can see it on my Flows 4 Days YouTube channel, or you follow me at Psychosis. That's Psychosis. In the same vein, on my website, psychosismusic.com, that's where you can find all the music. You can find the tour dates for the Almost Cool Enough tour that's coming up. The first date being in Chicago, 11/14 at Emporium Wicker Park, man. So I got a lot of dope artists opening up with me. Carla G, Corey Ether. Who else is going to be rocking with me? Luke Kane. I'm going to perform with a live band. And, of course, my brother Eldorado Jones will be there. Hopefully the homie Chris can be there. We can do something crazy, stand on the table, hang off a chandelier, something crazy. We'll see.
You're going
to
be nuts.
Oh, most definitely. You know, my brother, it was an honor to have you on the show. I'm going to toss the mic to you. If there's anything you want to shout out to your people, your family, your social media.
Yeah,
the floor is yours.
First of all, I want to say happy birthday to my girl Marissa. I know she's listening right now. We've been celebrating her birthday, so happy birthday. Shout out Camille and the fam. Lil L, hopefully listening as well. Everybody, Lil Cody, Kayla, everybody, shout out to them because they're the family that we're doing this for. You know, my son Avery, my brothers. But Don McGuire, man, I can't say thank you enough, man. You always use your platform to give us a voice, and you share so much love with us, man, since the day we met you. So I can't thank you enough for allowing your fans, your listeners, to hear this ridiculously long-ass interview of me talking, but I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody who tuned in, who checked this out. Are your listeners able to listen to this after the fact? Like, does it go?
That link that you got.
Yeah,
that link that I sent you actually goes out. I'm on iHeart, Univision, and 26 other platforms. Plus, I'm also on Castbox FM. After the show, I'll send y'all a link to the FM transmitter so you can. You know, that I like that player better because you could fast forward, you could stop it, you could even enhance the audio, everything from there. But the link that you got now, man, and the link that from every show that you've ever done with me, you could go back and click on it, and you'll always hear it. Yeah, I archive my stuff because I think memories should be kept, not thrown away like most shows. So I put a little bit extra, you know, to archive my stuff. So 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you can still listen to the show today. You know,
hey, I appreciate it. I want to say that, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, you know, you talk about me showing y'all love. Y'all the one that's showing me love. You know, and that's one thing I want on my final statement of the show to people to realize. Okay. Eldorado and Psychosis are from Chicago. I hang out with people from the Loop. And everybody always talks about, oh, this is my set, or, you know, this is my hood. Man, that ain't what life's about. Life is about seeing the betterment and the greatness of other individuals and helping push them on that path and them helping push you. You know, it's not about pulling out a gun and shooting somebody because they looked at you funny. You know, that's not life. You know, I've been there. I'm in my mid-50s, and to see the correlation between Chicago and St. Louis with y'all's fans has been tremendous because people don't think stuff like that exists. You know, we can all be one, and we can all be a louder voice if we just come together as one. Psychosis, you dope, homie.
Absolutely.
Keep doing you. Eldorado, you got anything you want to add before we drop out of here? Hey, man, anytime, bro. Anytime.
I'm good, man. Everybody go out there, stream, and buy Almost Cool Enough. Look out for the tour coming to a city near you. Stay true. Stay supporting dope artists. If you know somebody who you listen to, don't wait for them to be a household name to be on the bandwagon. You got a friend or even somebody you don't know, but just someone you listen to who may not be popular. Hey, Sham, let somebody else know, hey, this is somebody you need to listen to. This artist is what I'm rocking with. Don't wait for somebody to blow up to share.
I feel
you. Be proud. Be proud to them, man. As Nipsey said, proud to pay. You know, be proud to support the people that speak to you and that resonate with you. Because I think in some ways we all are almost cool enough. We all feel like we're on the verge of being our greater selves. And let's keep pushing.
Absolutely.
On that note, man, I'm going to take us out with Nonstop. Much love, my brothers. I appreciate you coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, man, it's been a tremendous day, but we're going to drop some Nonstop. Much love, my brothers. Peace.
Love.
You know it gets rough sometimes. Nonstop.
We going nonstop. Yeah, you looking for a meal. Yeah, you want that. We going nonstop. I'm working, that dollar's working, this money certain. Long as I'm observing, I stay in focus and moving purpose. I sow a seed, they sow in need, I water them. Please don't go with me, no OMG, I slaughter them. The LOL, their flow is like hello hell. Just who pops up out of cell, then toast it to never fail. I prevail and stay on top of shit. Copping options with proper flip. Bad bitches with they tops and zip, blowing shotgun intoxicant. You a lame, I'm the opposite, begging for likes and compliments. When your circle competent, you don't talk, you accomplish it. I'm dedicated, just elevated to levitating. Been on charge like Raiden, I'm tired of waiting, I'm aggravated. Snap a finger, I'm activated, they captivated. Like that's amazing, and get the back like a tax evasion. Attack evading and parry quickly, get very swiftly. From a scary city, extendo clips probably carry 50.
Appreciate you, homies. God bless you, man, and appreciate you sharing who you are, Psychosis, with the world, brother.
Man, well, thank you, John, as always. I'm still here, brother. Yeah. Thank you, as always, man. It's been a great show, brother. I mean, it's my honor and pleasure to rock with you Sunday after Sunday, man. It's been a great ride. I hope we continue it.
Oh, most definitely, bro. We're going to continue it. You know, I thought it was dope when we fit to go out with you and Psychosis on that last track. But the thing that really means something to me is sharing what I believe in, man. And you giving up your time to come on here and share other artists. It's a true testament to who you are. Because you're allowing yourself as an artist to come on here and critique, interview, and show love to other people that I bring on from out the world. You know, we talked about it earlier before I let you go. You know, it's kind of cool, man. I still think it's cool to this day how you translated yourself from one interview with DJ Super into an interview with the Foo Fighters. So that ain't easy to do, homie. That ain't easy to do, but you did it, man. And I love you for it, bro. And I'm looking forward to the next music show we do. You truly are a homie at heart, man. And you fan for life, dog.
Absolutely, man. I love it, brother. I appreciate it, man. Just conversations. I think, hey, man, as long as you can relate to people in some capacity, man, we're all humans. We're all just creatures on this big ball of dirt trying to figure it out, man. And I like to break things down
in, man. And when I keep that in mind, you always find something to talk about, some kind of commonality, and just, you know, it comes through. Not to mention, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of that genre.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was a dope experience. I'm looking forward to more. And man, let's keep rocking. Let's do it.
Let's do it, bro. On that note, you have a good day, brother. God bless you. I love you, homie.
You do.
Stay true.
Man, I love you, brother. God bless.
All right, peace out. Ladies and gentlemen, what a hell of a show, man. Download it on iHeart, Univision, CastBox FM. And the more downloads we get, the more airtime we get next week in succession on iHeart and several other stations. Yeah, this album needs to be heard. Go out and buy it, man. Look up Psychosis and Eldorado Jones, Greater Than Self Entertainment. One love, true love. On that note, I want to wish everybody a tremendous day. Have a good night, and God bless.
To myself, people like Ice Cube, Public Enemy, have predicted this situation. And we've been shut off by the radio stations and the media, you know, as being just black kids yelling. We yelled about police brutality. We yelled about the gang situation.
Ice Cube, Ice Cube, warned us. Quick, go beam your eyes. Why can't you see they declared war on us? Chuck D, warned us. KRS, warned us. Quick, go beam your eyes. Why can't you see they declared war on us? Tupac, warned us. Ghetto Boys, warned us. Quick, go beam your eyes. Why can't you see they declared war on us? Goody Mob, warned us. Dead Prez, warned us. Quick, go beam your eyes. Why can't you see they declared war on us? 2 Chainz Eddie, gon' be fresh and change the vest.